In Genesis 1, 2, and 3, we learn that the first couple was Adam and Eve. As we look at the opening chapters of the Bible, we find that this couple was treated quite well. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, we find that they were given dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heaven. This power extended over every living creature on the earth. Then towards the end of Genesis chapter 1, in verses 29 and 30, we find that the first couple had received some other blessings as well. God told the couple, "Behold, I have given you every herb yielding seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you," God said, "it shall be for food. And to every beast on the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein is life, I have given these things to you." As you continue to read through the Genesis account, you find that multiple blessings were given to Adam and Eve. Another passage that is relevant is from Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. "And Jehovah God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely." When we look at the first couple of chapters in the Bible, we find that the first couple had everything that they could possibly want. Man was in sync with the creation. There was unity between man and beast. There was also unity with God. There was, from what's described, absolutely no basis for worry or fear. Minimal effort was required to maintain the crops that were growing. The opening chapters in Genesis present an ideal situation for man. As we look at the opening chapters, though, we find that the first couple made some bad choices. Beginning today, I want to take some time to study some of the couples that are described in the Bible. It's my goal to look at some of the people who were married, and we will have some positive lessons as well as some negative lessons. The first couple, of course, is Adam and Eve, and that's why we are beginning with them. This couple is unusual when we look at Bible couples because as two people who had been joined together, they had it all. They did not need to wait several years to establish a life together and make things comfortable for themselves. But these people, they came into the world and they had everything that they could possibly ask for. God said in Genesis chapter 1, "The whole earth belongs to you. I've given you dominion over everything that exists." The only restriction is found in Genesis 2:17. God says there is a tree that is the tree of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil, and God said you may not partake of that tree. Most know how the story goes. Satan came along and tempted Eve. The first later decided that the devil's temptation was attractive. It was too good to pass by. So we find that Eve bought into the greener grass theory. This is the idea that says people are missing out on something. This is the idea that says if another path, if another option, if another way is selected, people will have a better or more enjoyable life. The greener grass syndrome is often felt by those who continually wonder, what if? What if I become involved with something that's forbidden? What if I could live like someone else? What if I could be someone else? There is another person. There is something else in life that seems to be so much better than what I have. It seems to be more attractive. From what we can tell, these were some of the things that were going through Eve's mind. What if I eat the fruit? Am I missing out on something by not partaking of what's on that tree? Satan implied that the grass was greener on the other side of the fence. It was implied that God was holding out on the first couple. If Eve would be just a little more adventurous, she could enjoy something that was good and worthwhile. Well, according to the Genesis account, we know that Eve decided to see what was on the other side of the fence. The Bible says that Adam went with her. Both ate the fruit that was forbidden. What did this couple find? Well, they found that the grass was not any greener. They found something new. They found something different, but it was not pleasant. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 seems to suggest that the fruit was tasty. We know that Adam and Eve certainly became more knowledgeable, but it was not a better way of life. Genesis 3, verse 10 makes that very clear. "And he," that is Adam, "said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." The fruit did make them more knowledge, but the so-called greener grass led to fear. The greener grass led to shame. The first couple may have also experienced feelings such as remorse, regret. There certainly was guilt. We, as we look at Genesis 3, find that the grass was not greener because of some of the other consequences that were created from the couple's disobedience. Skipping down to verse 16 and then through verse 19. "Unto the woman," he said, "I will greatly multiply thy pain and thy conception. In pain thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, in toil shall I eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art. And God said, you're going to return that way. The chapter, Genesis 3, closes with these two verses, 23 and 24. Therefore Jehovah sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. And the final verse. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden the cherubim and the flame of a sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Ladies and gentlemen, Satan suggested that the grass was greener on the other side of the fence. Adam and Eve decided to test and see whether or not that was actually the case. They did find the new grass, but they were disappointed. The grass was not any better. It was not any greener. It created a very bad situation for them. The same type of lie is being presented to people thousands of years later. People of all ages are being told that they're missing out on things. The grass is supposedly a lot greener on the other side of the fence. And that's not surprising. There are other people in the Bible who thought that they too had found greener grass. Remember Jonah? Jonah, that prophet, he was someone who thought that he found a better alternative. God said, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach. Jonah thought he found greener grass. He thought he found a better choice. He decided to go the opposite way. That's a more attractive option. But you know, as you look at that book and that account, you find that that was not the best course. The grass was not any greener. It was a worse way. Israel's kings, Deuteronomy 17:17, were specifically told not to multiply wives unto themselves. That is, they were to have one wife and that was it. Solomon, though, apparently concluded that having more than one wife was greener grass. He thought that was something that was a good thing. He multiplied wives, but those women turned him away from God. Another example, early in biblical history, Genesis 19, Lot was told to escape to a mountain. But Lot reasoned in his own mind that there was greener grass. He thought that he would like to go to a neighboring city. Well, the Bible shows that that was not greener grass. He made a mistake. The Israelites were told to enter into the land of Canaan. God had given it to them. But if you remember that part of the Old Testament, they didn't want to go. It was said by the people of Israel that they could not overcome the inhabitants of the land. The Israelites thought the grass was the greenest right where they were. But the Bible says that they too picked the wrong patch of grass. Judas could have remained a faithful disciple of the Lord, but he found greener grass. He thought that the 30 pieces of silver were the most attractive offer, but they were not. The greener grass syndrome is throughout Scripture. It is a problem that's introduced in the opening chapters of the Bible. And the first sin in Scripture shows us that the grass is almost always not greener. People go through life wishing that they could do something that is forbidden, wishing that they could do what others do, or wishing that they could be who someone else is. Other things in life may seem to be so attractive, so appealing, but it's hardly ever the case that the grass is really as green as people believe. Some have said to others, I wish I had your job. You've got it made. Preachers hear that remark from time to time. I know of office workers who have been told that by other people. I envy you. You really have the best job. The people who are in business for themselves, I know some people who are business owners who have been told by others how lucky they are. And people sit back and think, boy, I wish I was him. I wish I were her. I wish my life was structured in that kind of way. The greener grass syndrome is seen in almost every area of life. It's seen in the business world, and it's also seen in the home. People wish that they were married to someone else's spouse. People may wish that they had someone else's children. I've met people who have said, I wish that I had married him. I wish that she were my wife. Why couldn't we have children that behave or are like their children? What is known as the greener grass syndrome is actually a form of envy. The Bible teaches that the greener grass idea is both sinful, and it is an idea that is misguided. The greener grass is not really greener. We, by and large, make our own grass. If it's green, it's green because, folks, we've colored it. We've nurtured it. We've watered it. We've cared for it. If the grass is thick and lush in life, in the physical realm, it is because people care for it. And the same is true in other parts of life as well. Many want the greener life, the greener grass, the better life, but they're not willing to work for it. I know of a woman, not associated with Goshen, not even from the state of Indiana, who's been married four times. Each time, she thought that her new mate would be just right. As she looked at another man, she thought, this is the one who is the greener grass. He is Mr. Right. She's now looking for her fifth husband. Thousands of people have become unhappy with the mate and gotten a divorce. People have said, the grass is greener out there. I'm going to find the perfect one. But those who have pursued divorce and similar things have found a new life. Adam and Eve found a new life. That's true. But a new life is not always an easier life, and it may not be a better life. Many who have gotten a divorce or pursued a similar kind of thing in life have found that the grass was no more appealing than before. I remember some time ago reading a story about two people. I'm going to call them Gina and George. George was a man who went to work each day. After he came home from work, he was hungry. He ate supper. And he fell asleep in front of the TV. That was his routine, 5 days a week. He was anything but romantic. He was not someone who his wife considered to be exciting. He kept the bills paid, but he was a dull husband. Hardly spoke to his wife, didn't want to do anything fun. Life with him was anything but exciting. On a scale of 1 to 10, his wife, Gina, rated him at about a -3. She finally became so dissatisfied with him that she reasoned in her heart, I'm going to divorce him. The grass is greener. There's got to be another man out there who is more exciting. She finally made a new friend, Fred. Gina liked Fred. Fred was someone who talked to her. He listened to her opinions. He valued her as a person. And when Friday came, Gina had made a decision. She was going to get her hair done, and she had decided in her heart that when she got home from that hairstylist, she was going to tell George she was through. She wanted a divorce. She was going to marry her new love, Fred, as soon as the divorce was finalized. Gina went to the beauty shop, slipped into the chair, and out came a new hairstylist. The stylist on this occasion was in a talkative mood. She wanted to know what Gina thought about divorce. The stylist said that she was married to a man who was very dull. He went to work every day, came home, ate dinner, fell asleep in front of the TV, and he was anything but romantic. Never had much to say to her. Not exciting. Would you like to guess the name of the stylist's husband? It was Fred. It was the very same person that Gina had fallen in love with. You see, the grass is not really greener. It only appears that way. Out of curiosity, I logged on to the internet a few days ago. I ran a search using this criteria. Check it out if you like. Is the grass greener? ? I thought I would see what comes up. I spent about 50 minutes skimming several web pages. I'm not sure how many I looked at, but it was quite a few. I'm not sure if the people who put together the web pages were religious or not. But folks, if you'll do that search, you'll find, I think, the same thing that I found. There was something that became very apparent. On all of the pages, or 99% of the pages, one theme was consistent. And that was the people who commented on this syndrome repeatedly said, the grass is not greener. There were some who talked about their change in jobs. They thought the grass was greener if they could work in an area where someone else had worked, and they thought that that would be an attractive job. And they said, well, we still have the same amount of problems. People got a divorce. They thought that they had found a more attractive spouse. And after they had entered into that new marriage, they found that the grass was not that much greener. Many reported that their conditions in life had worsened. Some said, and I found this to be an interesting quote, some said, we don't have any grass at all. In the prior relationship, it was brown, it was parched, it wasn't very good, but we're without any grass. We've got to plant all new grass, and we're in the middle of life, and it's not a very fun situation. You see, the first couple in the Bible tested the greener grass theory. And they found that Satan had lied to them. And this lesson is helpful to anyone who is a Christian. We have young people who are being influenced by those who are not Christians. Our young people are being told on a regular basis, you're missing out on some things because you're not doing the things that we're doing. You're not coming with us. You're not participating. Those who are encouraged to give in to peer pressure, I want to make things very simple for you. The greener grass theory is a lie. It's not true. As those young people are telling you need to be involved with things, you're being left out. There's some things that you really need to experience, some things that are so enjoyable, and you're not being allowed to participate. That is not true. The Bible affirms in so many ways that the greener grass, if people want it, it is found in the lifestyle known as Christianity. The Bible says that Christianity is the only way to God. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, no one cometh unto the Father but by me. We must use the system that God has given. The Christian life is also the best way to live. If you want the greener grass, this book tells you how to get it. That is the right way to live. Have we therefore become a Christian And are we doing our best to live as the Bible describes? If we cannot give an emphatic yes to both of those questions, something is wrong. This morning we hope that you are interested in the greener grass. And we hope that you and your mind are fully persuaded that that is found in God's Word. If you've not yet become a Christian, the Bible shows you how to become one beyond any doubt. If you believe in Jesus, that's the first step. Jesus said in John 8:24, without belief, we're going to be lost. In Luke 13:3, Jesus said that unless we repent, we're going to be lost. And then Jesus said to those who believe, those who are willing to repent, Luke 13:3, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. This morning we could word that, they're going to find the greener grass. And then we continue to do our best to live as a faithful Christian, to abide by God's Word, so we can have the best life as we go through our period on earth and have the best life in eternity. Do you want the greener grass? Are you a Christian? And are you a Christian who's faithful? Those are the questions that we're asking this morning. If we can help you become a Christian, or if we can help turn you to the right road to become a stronger Christian, a more faithful Christian, someone who's more dedicated, we invite you to come as we now stand and sing.